love opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
When a caterpillar spins its cocoon, it undergoes a radical change. It lets go of the parts of its past that hold it back and reforms itself as an entirely new and beautiful creature. Are you in need of a similar rebirth? Dr. Tasselfaith is your priestess of metamorphosis, guiding you as you spin your cocoon and realize your greatest change. Metamorphosis. Lead with your magic. Trust the unseen. Experience quantum leaps. Live on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.
Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul,
with Julio
and JoJo Rose.
We invite you to enter into ecological equanimity in the unified field of spacious unknowing.
We open and awaken to broaden your access to the soul rhythm in all of us.
We engage in the pilgrimage inward to feel the infinite love that beats in the rhythm of our collective soul.
We will guide you to new horizons and infinite love during our Inquire Within segment
to accept that you create your field.
I create my field.
And together, we create the unified field. Spacious Unknowing Network
with Julio
and JoJo Rose starts now.
Aloha and welcome to Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul. Today's show is New Pathways in Your Inner Network. Oh, the wonder of inner resources called upon to clear away daily obstructions in your life. Tiny acts in waves of movement cause a tsunami of creative beneficence. I'm JoJo Rose.
And I'm Julio Rose. And, you know, spacious unknowing really is like, you know, walking a tightrope without a net. So I'm going to start today with a story of JoJo when she was 2.5, and I received the diagnosis for her of cerebral palsy. And I've mentioned it before in another setting, another talk, but this time there's so much more to be added for, well, you'll see. So when she received the diagnosis, it was from an orthopedic doctor and a pediatrician, and we were sent to a physical therapist for her therapy. And so I learned how to be with her, and she laid on the floor in the kitchen. We had a huge kitchen, and it was a perfect spot. And she, while I knelt at her feet to work with her two limbs, her legs, her left leg, her heel cord was very tight. And that was what caused her to walk in a way that created her right foot to be affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I picked up her right foot, a left foot with in my hand, my palm actually, because I had to lift her foot like in my palm, so that her it would stretch her heel cord.
Mm-hmm.
And her foot was dead. I mean, it was dead. Mm-hmm. In my hand. And Cleo, the therapist, had shown me how to do this the day before, and it was so easy. I did not expect what happened. So I was in the right position, and I really asked. I really didn't know. And I needed to know, and I needed to know right now because it was important to me. And I couldn't, you know, look around and think, oh, well, Cleo had years of, you know, education. Mm-hmm. She knew what she was doing, obviously, and she showed me. But anyway, I couldn't go there. I had to be present for my little girl who was looking at me with eyes that were so trusting. And so I took her foot, and I just could feel, I just had to tap her forehead. Mm-hmm. Think, Jojo, think. And immediately the flow of life came through her down to her feet, and I was able to lift her left foot in my palm of my hand and feel her heel cord loosening. And when she retreated back to her head, which she did do, I called her back, same way, same method. And each time that she retreated, I called her back. So each morning I worked with her for an hour this way. The other part of it was I had a 2x4, 6 feet long that she walked on for her balance, and just one foot in front of the other so she could balance. And she did it before we started the hour. And so it was every day. And when she was three, she was, I had known when we went for a walk with her brothers to the playground, she would drip to the ground. She didn't fall. She dripped, like all of her faculties gave way, and she was on the ground in a heap. And I would go and be with her until I could help her stand and walk. Well, when she was younger, when we lived in Boston, I had taken her to two different appointments at the Children's Hospital in Boston to find out if there was something I needed to know. Because my there was a friend who felt there was something with her legs and feet. And so I checked it out, and they gave her a clean bill. You know, they said, no, there was nothing. So it wasn't until she was 2.5 that she was actually showing signs of something that could be diagnosed. And so when she was three, it was time for her to learn to pick herself up instead of me walking over to her and helping her up. And that was a challenge for her. But she did it. And I just stayed clear. But it took me three times of that day seeing her pick herself up that made me know that I wasn't to pick her up anymore. And then I became very consciously aware that that was helping her. That was helping her to connect with what we were doing with the therapy and using her own limbs and faculties to pick herself up. And sure enough, within, I think, a week or two, she didn't drip to the ground anymore. So that was a brand new understanding that I gained from the happening of it. And never know the way it's going to show up, but it does show up when we're engaged and care. And that's the way it works. So from then on, she was, you know, we did the therapy still every morning. And on the weekends, we'd walk around the house, her dad, her brothers, her two brothers, Jay and Matt, and she and I would walk around the house on our heels like this, because that was drawing her heel cord down. And Batman and Robin were all the rage then with children. And one of the characters in Batman and Robin was the Riddler. And that's the way he walked, like a penguin. And so they loved it. They were just really, really into this. And so that was also integral to her therapy. But for her, it was just fun.
I was just going to say, it was fun. It didn't feel like therapy. It was fun.
So we went to clinic day once a month at the physical therapy where they operated, but her physician, her pediatrician, the orthopedic doctor, and a therapist were there to see her, to chart her, how she was doing. And that was once a month. So we did that every month. And so we continued after her three-year-old changes. And when she was five, she got a clean bill of health from Dr. Orthopedic doctor, Dr. Maxwell, and from her pediatrician, Dr. Borland, and from Cleo, who was her physical therapist. And it was a celebration for all of us. And Dr. Borland made me promise I would not put this on her school record. And I truly didn't understand, you know, love is love. So you never think about what people could do with it. But he did. And he asked me to really not make sure that. Yeah. And so I didn't. But later I understood, you know, how that could have harmed her. So that was her young life. And when she was seven, I received that she would be heal the rest of it as an adult. And so I accepted that. And one of the ways that she showed her own way to be fit, focused, and fun was you tell it about the monkey bars and...
Yeah, when I was six or seven, I don't remember the age, but I love to play. And I let me begin with from the what Julie and I were in, my mother and I were in when I was little. It really helped me to understand focus. And from that, and then having to pick myself up at three. And then as a family, my brothers were always active. I was playing with them. We went to the park a lot. We went to the beach, but it was all in fun. And it, anything that had to do with fitness really kind of sparked me.
It did.
And it made me feel like, well, I can do anything. There isn't anything I can't do. And so being at school, recess time, having the different playground equipment, there was one piece of playground equipment that I felt a little daunting to me. And I would observe from a distance, and it was the monkey bars, and I'd see children going across it and making it look really easy. And I kind of was working with myself, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go give it a try. So I climbed up the stairs, and I had to reach quite a bit to get that first rung, and I tried it, and I'd fall and I'd go right back up the stairs again. And I did this day in and day out for I don't know how long, because I was determined. I knew I'm going to get from here, from this side, all the way to the other side. And it was in my soul. I knew I had to. Yeah. I knew it was something that I had to do, and I did it.
You did it.
And it took a bit, but I did it.
You did. And that was then your President's Day.
Oh, my goodness. So when I speak of fitness, this is what I mean. President's Day, back in the day, you know, it was a day where we would do like a 100-yard dash. We would do pull-ups. We would do, there were like several different things that they would have us do to see how our fitness was, that's the best way to say our fitness. Well, I loved it. I had so much fun doing it. And every time it happened, I would come home and share. And, you know, it just was so important. And then the other part was field day. They would have once a year. And that was more like just fun, you know, different relay races or trying to jump over, I forget what they call it. It's not the high bar, but it was a bar that you had to run and try and jump over. And it just, it was fun. And I enjoyed it so much. And I know that that comes from, I feel I came in with it, but then it comes from how you were with me. And when I was laying on the floor and you were in the therapy with me, I felt completely enveloped, encompassed in love. And I felt that difference when you would point here and the flow coming into my form and then retreating into my head. So the interesting thing is that's kind of been the dichotomy of the way that I've lived my life, moments of allowing the flow to come in, listening into my soul rhythm, and other times retreating into my head, making my life difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as an adult, you did go to one school to be with young children.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, my three sons were fairly young. The youngest one was in elementary school, and I was troubled because I saw children in their lack of ability to play, their diet. I mean, there were so many different things that really concerned me. And I thought, well, I want to be able to contribute in some way. What can I do? And I realized that because fitness had been important to me, I did yoga, I lifted weights, I did all kinds of things to keep myself fit. And my sons were the same way. We'd go rollerblading, bike ride, all kinds of things. And so I spoke to an after school care program person at the school and talked to him about being able to come in and do deep breathing with the students. And he said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So I did that. But then it expanded where I talked to several of the teachers. And I would go into the classroom and work with specifically third, fourth, and fifth graders. And it was a soul rhythm. I was so moved. And there were times I was in the classroom with the children where I wasn't sure how to be with them. But what I beheld was so amazing. And I went in with the intention that I wanted these children to feel loved the way I had always felt loved. That was my major. And I started with deep breathing with them. Well, of course, the first time I went into a fifth grade class, I had them sit in a circle and I talked to them and said, do you know why I'm here? Has your teacher expressed to you why I'm here? And they said, no. And I said, talked to them and we proceeded to, you know, I gave them instruction in the way to sit and how to be. And I heard all these giggles going on. And I said, okay, I know you all are fifth graders and you're the cool kids in the class, in the school. But if your eyes are closed, you don't know what the person next to you is doing. They are to be in the same thing you're in. So, and then I shared a personal story with them. And it got really quiet.
Well,
I shared with them that about my birth and the first 2 months of my life, the way that I spent it in a isolette in the hospital. And that I said, I was just a big ball of pain. And it was like a pin drop because I had struck a chord with the way that they were feeling for whatever reason in their life. And so I continued to speak with them a little bit and share my story and to let them know that no matter what happens in your life, there are ways for you to be able to be with it and respond rather than react. And so they sat again in their chairs and they actually sat quietly, calmly, deep breathing with their eyes closed for 2 minutes. And as I continued to be with this particular class, they were able to work all the way up to 5 minutes. And so many of them shared with me, along with the teacher, the effect, I did the deep breathing and then I did different games with them, cooperative games, so that they learned to work together and communicate. Sometimes they had to be silent with each other, but learn to kind of feel what was going on and all different types of things. And in that particular classroom, the teacher really noticed the difference in the feel and how the children started to cooperate with each other and be calmer. And he even said that some of the children who were anxious or kind of giggly and uncomfortable they said that it was the most relaxed they'd ever felt in their life mm-hmm. whenever I came into the classroom. Mm-hmm. So that was one effect. A third grade classroom, I went in once. And typically my time frame was 30 minutes. Mm. And so after my first time in that classroom, the teacher came up to me and she said, "Do you know that after the one session you did with them, bullying on the playground stopped, like completely stopped, and it did not repeat itself because they were given, they knew what they could do. Vital to breathe. Uh-huh. The breathing, it gave them a place to go to if they started to feel mm-hmm. anxious or upset with another student or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. But something I want to add here that I haven't added yet, I always, each classroom that I went into, I instructed them in the deep breathing, but I usually ended it with, "I want you to tell me where you think you might be able to use this."
Right.
And they would say to me, they would give me some of their, and I said, "Okay, when I come back next week, I want you to tell me exactly where you used it and how you used it and what happened from you using it." And so some of the things they would tell me, like one young little girl, and I think she was a third grader, said to me, "You know, every time I go to bed at night, I'm anxious mm-hmm. and I can't sleep." And she said, "I remember and I breathe deep and I fall asleep in no time." I had a young boy speak to me about sports and how he loved to play sports, but he would always, again, kind of feel anxious about the game. And he thought, "Well, I'm just going to breathe before I get up to bat or before I go out into the field." And he said it really helped him learn to just be present and enjoy the game. And then the last classroom that was probably the toughest one for me to be mm-hmm. with. So this particular school, it was in an affluent area in Washington State. But in this particular elementary school, there was great diversity in the student body, economically, academically, culturally. So there were a lot of variances. And this was a fifth grade classroom, again, that had a lot of diversity in it. Mm-hmm. And when I went into the classroom, what I noticed was how disrespectful the students were with the teacher and each other. Mm-hmm. And so I continued, you know, I was with them and did the deep breathing with them and spoke with them because the other part aside from inquiry was wanting them to know they have a voice. Mm-hmm. So in this classroom, it was like there were some students who really wanted to learn mm-hmm. and there were other students who were pulling at that fabric and causing the chaos.
Yeah.
And I said to them, I said, "You know, the truth of the matter is this is your classroom. Mm-hmm. This is your classroom. If you want to learn, then you have to work with each other and cooperate." And so I thought, okay, how am I going to reach them? And I remember calling you and saying, "I'm not sure what mm-hmm. to do in this case." Like, and you just assured me you'll know exactly what to do. Well, I found myself going in the next time, and the classrooms were set up where there'd be a group of four or five desks. So that was one set of students, you know, and the classroom had that type of setting. So I started talking to them about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
What makes a leader?
Yes.
Who is a leader? And some of them would be like, "Well, a leader, you know, does this and tells people what to do." And so we had this full-on discussion. I wanted to hear what they felt with it and what I said, "Well, this is what we're going to do." I said, "Each one of you are going to have 1 week where you're going to be the leader of your table group." And I said, "Mind you, the rest of the group, you have the right to tell the leader that it's not okay what you're doing, or you're doing a great, you know, you're being really helpful." I wanted it to become a democratic process, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I did do it. And the difference in the classroom with each other mm-hmm. and the way they were with the teacher, it changed. And so this is my
Didn't you ask them if they realized how disrespectful they had been to the teacher?
Yeah, I did actually.
And what did they tell you?
I forgot about that. Thank you. From me doing this leadership with them, they got it.
Yeah.
They really got it because they got to feel what that felt like.
Both sides
yeah. of it. And it, you know, and that was my thing with the students. I mm-hmm. wanted them to feel it for themselves. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be self-knowledge for them.
Yeah.
Not just me coming in as another adult, telling them what they needed to do. No, I wanted them to feel it.
Yes.
And have it be a real practical application, personal to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And community. Because in each classroom, it did become community. Mm-hmm. Far more so than... So I loved it. I mean, I loved being with the children this way. And seeing what happened with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was very enlightening.
So the overall, you wanted to do it in a larger way with other schools, but it didn't.
No. And
there was no receptivity at that time.
At that time, there wasn't. And I'll come back to this, but the way that I approached it was to provide it for after school care programs. I talked to people in the school. I talked to the principal. I went to the, the district office. I had things written out. I had proposals. I had all of that. And their reasoning was, well, we don't have the time and the money mm-hmm. to implement this. And I thought, okay, well, what's another way I could approach this? So I went to some businesses in the area for sponsorship. Same thing. Well, the really sad part of this is that I then took that very personally and I couldn't take it into the next level to have it become a bona fide community-based mm-hmm. Program. I have since learned that no matter what, there's always a way to make it work.
But I was learn that
through these 3 years and mm-hmm. being here with you and really having to not only face me, but to really be real with me. Mm-hmm. And to see the things in my life that I did that negatively impacted the people around me. Mm-hmm. The things that I did that were good impacts. But I had to really look at, it was never about someone else. I've had to learn that it's me. I'm the creator. I'm the one that decides in my life the way, the path that I want to walk down, and what is that going to look like, and what am I going to create in my life? Mm-hmm. And so the interesting thing is the constant, steady, continual in my life has been fitness. Mm-hmm. And in that for me has been that focus.
Yeah.
Because of what you did with me when I was a child, I have to be completely focused, whatever I am in. And mm-hmm. if I'm not focused, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But that was my heart, too, in being with the children.
Yeah, right.
Is having them. I mean, I was surprised with how many children didn't know how to skip, hop, jump rope, shoot a basket. All the things that I grew up with that were just a natural part of
living
and playing.
Yeah.
And what I've learned from what I've been through really... Now, I'm going to say it this way, listener. So as a child, when we were in the therapy, that was that inner network being built mm-hmm. inside of me, new pathways. And there were new pathways yeah. made in my brain. There were.
Yeah.
The ones that were damaged were bypassed so that new pathways were built. And she...
And I want to say, I didn't know anything about that yeah. other than that is what I received, that new pathways would be built because the doctor... Her pediatrician let me know that she was not in any way retarded, that this was brain damage, mm-hmm. and that the part that was damaged was why the work, you know, why we would work with this. And so I knew that she needed new passageways in her brain for it to overcome and throughout her body. I mean, it's all one. And so when I went to the library to find books that might help me, I found out I had this, and this was all I had because there were no books on the subject matter at that time.
Right.
No Google.
Yeah, no.
And so I just had to rely upon letting what rose from within me, mm-hmm. the knowing, and applying it. And that was the way we worked. And so when you, yes, the whole network was built mm-hmm. in you
yes.
for your young life. Mm-hmm. And that was something you had to choose
yes.
as an adult.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
do your own work.
Yes.
I mean, not by yourself.
No, ever. I get that. And it's the midway point. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Stay with us because there is more on this. I want to bring this into current day, into now, because the network is ever available for us. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
Everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul,
with Julie O
and JoJo Rose, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love.
Well, you are listening to Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul. Before the break, Julie and I were sharing a story in regards to some therapy that she did with me when I was young, 2.5, for my diagnosis of cerebral palsy.
Till you were 5?
Till I was 5. And at 3, I had to learn to pick myself up. But from that, from the love that I was encompassed in, enveloped in, the way that we were connected and would connect in the therapy is something that
I treasure because it, in a very, it gave me my soul rhythm. Now it took me, mind you, so she was speaking before the break of retreating into my head. And I was speaking on how I would have moments in my life of being in my soul mm-hmm. rhythm and understanding, being able to listen in. And then there were long periods of, I would say, retreating in my head and allowing life to feel bigger than me, being overwhelmed, overstressed, life got the better of me, feeling, and always
reactive
and not listening to me, not knowing what I really needed, but making what everybody else said or did with me more important. Mm-hmm. So I got really lost. And so, but the steady in my life has been from what you did with me as a child in the love and pointing here. And the love is, I mean, the love is the most important thing, but this did something to me where it was a, something that I could be within my life to set that tone inside of myself when I used it, when I turned it on, when I, mm-hmm. and often it was around the context of fitness, being healthy. Today, in the last 3 years, I've learned with your love and guidance and me calling me to really come home, me knowing I needed to come home, because coming here was a soul call for me, because I knew it's what I needed, even though I didn't know what that was.
We never do. That's the joy of it.
Yeah. And so
you
it's
find out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's been, the last 3 years have been, what I would say, Julie shared at the beginning of the show that she knew at age 7 that I would, as an adult, be fully healed. And that's what these 3 years have been. That's ongoing.
I knew when you were 7.
When I was 7. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I, sure.
Okay. Yeah. 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 When I was 7, you knew that I would be healed as an adult. Yeah. And so that's really what these 3 years have been, mm-hmm. because yeah. I've had to muscle up my own will. I've had to make mm-hmm. decisions. I've had to notice and pay attention to when I go to the overwhelm, the overstress, unkind talk to myself, many of the things that we've spoken of in a lot of the shows. So that inner network, the spacious unknowing network, is built inside of me now. So when I have something in my life that is troubling or I'm having difficulty with, I can be in my network. And the wonder of all of this is that I now truly understand what I'm here for, mm-hmm. and my purpose and my soul, because everyone has a soul purpose, everyone. And no one's soul purpose is the same. Mm-hmm. We all have a unique, thing to bring forth to humankind. And so the story I shared in the children and the way I was with them, I've come back to that. That's still a love that has never gone away. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I know this is what I intend to bring into the community here in Hawaii, to the children here, and to bring to the world online, I feel as it's gotten, my view of it has gotten a lot larger. Yes, I want children to feel loved. I also want them to know how much they have right here inside of them, and that this is where they can go, whatever may be happening in their life. And it's to be with them to I don't know if elicit that forth from them by being in inquiry with them, by caring, by allowing them to speak and listen.
And to realize that they can breathe.
Yes.
Because, you know, I always say to an audience, do you breathe? And, you know, they laugh because that's pretty funny. But it isn't, because a lot of people don't breathe. They don't breathe enough so that they understand their life better, life inside of them better. And really, there are different ways to breathe for sure. But it's really learning just the simple way to breathe. And that way they begin to understand, oh, this helps me. This makes a difference in the way I live and walk and talk and be. And so tell me more, you know?
Yeah.
Well, your children then, when you did that in school, they all benefited from you showing them the way to breathe.
Yeah.
And you did a little yoga with them, I remember.
Yes, I did.
And you did some games and things that were fun to them.
Yes.
But the breathing was their real gift from you, because they actually were able to use it elsewhere.
Yes.
And that is love heals.
Yes, it does.
And love is breath. It's whole breath. It's whole breath that they learn to use intentionally.
Yes.
And that's what you showed them that they could do.
Yeah.
And they came back to let you know that it worked. Yeah. And that's, to me, the most important part of any one of us working is that with someone, being with other beings, is that they get it and they understand, and they have some happenings in their own life from which they have expressed it,
right,
and learned something new.
Yeah.
And so that's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the breath is already here.
Yeah.
So it becomes very, right.
The point is that if they go here, they have to learn how to breathe first.
Yeah.
And that's why meditation is so helpful.
Yes.
Because they usually breath is introduced with the meditation.
Yeah.
And it really does make a difference in any one of our lives.
Yeah.
If we let it.
Yes. Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
Learning to be still, having that stillness.
Yeah. And meditation alone is not enough.
No,
the faculties have to be developed and used as well.
Yeah.
And that's what some people miss, that just meditation, that's it. No, never it. I mean, it's integral to all the rest of it.
Yes, and that was something, because I never used the word meditation with the children. It was more, we're going to sit and we're going to deep breathe.
Right.
And then I would want them to bring that breath into some kind of movement so that they knew that whether they're sitting quietly or lying in bed or moving, that it is always with them and they have it to be in. Mm-hmm. So I like the way that you're expressing it, because it's true. Breath is, without breath, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
You know, it's.
I do know. We know.
Yes. So it's. I use the word grateful a lot in this show, but I am grateful to understand and to be able to put together, connect the way you were with me as a child and the work that we were in together as a child, and that I had that at different times in my life. But then now it's like, well, it's the same, only now I consciously chose it. I consciously decided for it. And it's helped me to become, as you say, conscious of being conscious.
Right.
And it's the best thing of that is every day is new. Every day brings new possibilities and new ways of seeing myself and seeing life. New ways of being with the people in my life.
Yes.
So it's,
Very real.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Well, yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for doing the work of the inner learning, the inner workings, learning about the network in you, mm-hmm. because that's how you can use it.
Yes.
You can't use something you don't know anything about.
That's true.
You can't use something that, and you can't change something you don't know you're doing.
No.
And that's really huge. And so many people don't have any idea what is troubling them. Or if they do, they're not, well, it never occurs to them that they could do something to clear that. Mm-hmm. And what would that look like?
Yeah.
Because it depends on what it is.
Yeah.
And so it's important to notice, mm-hmm. to be attentive, mm-hmm. to care.
Yes.
And to let love in.
Yes.
Because honestly, that's the biggest one.
It is.
And people
it
who
is.
Push love aside don't realize what they're doing. And that is certainly what you did before you came here. Mm-hmm. And now you have that really clear now.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful life to have.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Because, you always can come home to love.
Yes.
Love heals. Yes.
Yes, it does. It does heal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are you going to be doing now?
I am going to be, working with children. My business is Fun, Fit, Focus, Leadership. Excuse me. And it's really being with children in deep breathing, yoga, inquiry. Probably having some themes like gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Inquiry would be one of them. Community, cooperation, just different things that they can begin to feel, mm-hmm. and have them use it in their life. And I always want them for it to become part of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're who they are and the way that they bring it forth into their life. That's very important. But the most important is love and them feeling loved and cared for. And listen to, not just by me, but the other children in the group.
Yeah.
And, it's
their families.
Yeah, their sure, families. Yeah,
their
exactly.
Families. Yeah.
So I'm ready for this again.
You are.
Yes, I am.
And what's interesting, JoJo, is that you knew all along what mm-hmm. you love most. And, the thing that happens with most people in life is whatever their gift is, whatever their soul rhythm is, often is known for a few moments or a few mm-hmm. years, and then not unknown. And it kind of goes in and out the window, so to speak. But then all of a sudden they realize, well, this is my true gift because I feel the best and the happiest with it.
Yeah.
And that's when you really know.
Yes.
And part of what the gift we have that we come in with, the soul rhythm we come in with, is not so easy to understand is because we think everybody has it.
Yeah.
We don't feel it as something that is intrinsically mm-hmm. ours until we do.
Right.
When we do, then it is intrinsically ours and we use it wisely and well with other beings. So that's the big one.
It is the big one.
And that's what, when you came home to this for the fifth time.
I know. Yes. But in you saying that, what I'm realizing in this moment is that when I did it at the school, I didn't have what I now have. So what I now have in understanding that I have the network inside of me mm-hmm. gives me so much more to be in this with children.
Sustainability
and understanding.
Yeah.
And the big one was back then, I didn't necessarily understand the psychology of what I was in with the children. I felt what I was in them. Mm-hmm. I beheld the difference I watched in them, but there were a lot of things that I did not understand mm-hmm. that now I do.
Yeah.
And it makes it so much fuller yeah. and richer, both for me and the ones that I'll be working with.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is what the growth and unfolding and the development yes. is all about for any soul on this planet, yeah. for sure. And it's beautiful to behold each, you know, iteration of yes. the person and what they undergo to get to that full, ah, oh, yes. home. This is my place.
Yes.
This is where I belong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a joy in itself. That's, you know, Joseph Campbell would say, follow your bliss.
Yeah.
Well, that's really the truth. It is blissful.
Yeah.
And I always say it's a bliss kiss.
Yes.
Because it really does mm-hmm. feel that way. It's like, you know, kiss of peace, bliss kiss.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all pretty much the same.
Yeah, it is.
The wonder of life.
Mm-hmm. What is the wonder of life? So I'm very grateful to be here. And I have come to understand the importance of having an inner network, and that for anyone that may not understand it or still, like you said, may feel like not sure, it's possible for people to have an inner network. And
well, I would say that the inner workings you were working with yeah. to build this inner network is what built it.
Yes.
For you to yes. understand it, because each unfolding of it, you were beginning to understand you better.
Yeah.
And it's all putting it all together. So that there is a whole network of understanding mm-hmm. you can draw on
yeah.
for anything in your life that you need it for. And that's the beauty, because it becomes a unified field of wholeness. Mm-hmm. And you can draw on the wholeness even before you have the wholeness.
Yes.
And that's yeah. the wonder of our lives, is that we don't have to wait for something.
No.
And usually when people sit around and wait, it's a W-E-I-G-H-T on them. You know, yeah. we have words that sound the same, but have very, very different meanings.
Yeah.
And that is one of them. But often people feel heavy and weighted down by their worries and fretting and upset and overwhelm, as you mm-hmm. said. And there is a way through that.
Yeah, there is.
And they have to be the ones who find that way, you know, and hopefully they choose to accept others in their lives
yes.
for that to be
yeah.
Renewed and reactivated in them.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way to
it is
live.
And it's, as you have said many, many, many a times, when we understand something, it makes such a big difference in the way it feels in our life.
Mm-hmm. Well, understanding to me, it's standing under my feet.
Yeah.
As my firm foundation.
Yes.
I walk in it.
Yeah.
And it walks in me. Yeah. So it really is. And I know the crown is where we come to understand, but we have to have that all the way through us.
Yes, we do.
To our feet. We cannot just leave it in one place.
No.
And that's such an important, you know, what most distresses me in this world mm-hmm. is the way people separate everything. And so yeah. when I want to bring something to the world, there always has to be a category or a place to place me. Mm-hmm. I can't live that way. Mm-hmm. Everything is of interest to me. Everyone is of interest to me. I would not leave one person out.
No.
Because that's me separating a part of me. Mm-hmm. It's not the way I live. So it's mm-hmm. very difficult. And I don't let it be difficult, but I can express that it doesn't even touch me unless I'm needing to do a work in the world through a means that
are
possible for me to use.
Yeah.
And everything has that in it, the separation.
The separation, yeah.
That I just have to be me and I have to be who I am no matter what. So that's the truth of the matter. And but definitely separation is not living.
No. Yeah.
It's not living.
It's the truth.
There's a lot of breath that's stagnant in that life.
So. Yes, that's the truth. That's very, very true. There is a lot of stagnant breath.
Yeah.
And
that's why it's important for people to learn to breathe because they don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's really the truth of the matter. And it does matter.
Yes, it does. Very much so. And we are, we're almost at the end of the show. Is there anything else that you would like to
No, it's say? Your forum today. You're the one who needs to tell what you're...
So I have mentioned to you that I am going to be working with children here in Hawaii. And I will be setting up an online platform to be able to bring this to the larger audience. And for any of you that have children or know of someone that has children that would love to learn to deep breathe and yoga and voice and community, so many different things, you can reach me at jojo@spaciousunknowingnetwork.com. That's jojo@spaciousunknowingnetwork.com. I know it's the time of year that we want to say
happy holidays and all of the holidays, wherever you are, whatever it is that you honor at this time of year, we're honoring that with you.
Yes. And we will see you next week, Monday, 5 p.m. Hawaii time, 7 p.m. Pacific, and 10 p.m. Eastern time. Until then,
happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul,
with Julie O
and JoJo Rose.
Join us again
for life-affirming communication every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com so that you can bask in the rays of infinite love.
Access Soul Rhythm to tap into your real being for your heartbeat in the rhythm of your soul.
Feel it guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love. For more information about
Julie O
and JoJo Rose, visit spaciousunknowingnetwork.com. That's spaciousunknowingnetwork.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Oh, my goodness. We have got talk radio for all of us.
Really, thank you for blazing the trail for women in talk radio and just being such an inspiration to me and so many other people. What you're doing is so awesome. And, you know, without people like you there to, like, really step out of the box and go for it, I don't know if someone like me would have ever ended up here, but I'm so happy to be here. And, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. You're one of my major inspirations.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.